Today on Real Life Radio.
Can you counsel somebody about marriage and life and children without kids? The Bible says before you can ever conduct and oversee a church, you gotta have your kids in control. Or else how can you manage the affairs of God's church?
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 3, continues his series called The Book of Revelation. There are portions in the Bible where we're left wondering what it all means, but not here in Revelation chapter 17. Babylon is a topic that's often avoided because of its content, but it's important for what it reveals to us and to the world in which we now live. You see, during the time of the Apostle John, Babylon was a pagan worship system thousands of years old, but continued to be the religion of the Roman Empire. During the Great Tribulation, however, Babylon is a religious system that will reach across the world, a worship system of pagan idolatry, promising unlimited wealth and prosperity. It will dominate the world's religions and continue, as it does today, to martyr Christians for their faith in Jesus Christ. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that in the end, all religious systems will fail, brought down by their own gross passions and the unholy historic marriage of the Babylonian worship system and what was called the Christian Church. Now, it's important to note that this sermon was recorded some time ago, and you might hear some references that are kind of out of date, but don't worry, the main content of this message is more relevant today than it has ever been. Now, in his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We saw this, identifying the road to Babylon. Now bear with me, we're going to go fast here by way of review. It's a system having global powers. Whatever it is a religious entity that has global powers. So you need to stop on your little notes and ask yourself, what system throughout history has had global powers? We need to consider four things about the global power of what this religious system is. Number one, her identity was clear. Remember that? We saw that in verse 18. Her identity was clear. We saw it in verse 18. She's a city during the days of John's time in which she reigned over the kings of the earth. Her identity was clear. We learned in verse 9 that her location is clear. She's a city that sits on how many hills? Seven. By the way, since I met with you last, did more research and found out this, that originally Rome named her Seven Hills, which you got the names of last week. Oh, I hope I can remember. Help me out. Capitoline, Esquiline, Caelian, Palatine, Quirinal, and Viminal. I can only remember six of them, but there are seven of them. Even since when they had Seven Hills of Rome, check this out. Why are they so bent on seven? Did you know that if you research, you'll find two other names of hills that were introduced later on? You say, oh, so now there's nine. Listen, there were nine hills named. Every time they included a hill for political reasons, for some sort of political intrigue, for whatever reasons, instead of adding one to make eight, instead of adding two to make nine, guess what they did? They deleted one to include the other, to keep it at seven. This is secular history, my friend. This is not religious history. I don't know the answer as to why, but the Bible says she is a power that sits on seven hills. Let's keep going. Her identity is clear, her location clear, her attire. Do you remember her attire? She has purple and scarlet robes. She is a woman who, listen, according to Revelation 17, you need to pay attention because we'll show some images again to remind you, but she's naked, but she's wearing purple and scarlet robes. That's weird, isn't it? She's naked, but she's wearing robes. It's kind of a weird motif, I guess. I don't know. Her influence, verse 15. Her influence says that she's upon the waters, which you saw. They are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. Whatever this religious entity is, it's been global. It was global in John's day, and it will be global again. I want to argue with you that it's never stopped being global. She sits currently, the Greek construction is, upon many waters. She has always been in the lives in some religious way, shape, or form in the acts of people who worship. The question is, worship whom or what? This is critical. That's what next week in our message together is all about. Secondly, we saw identifying the road to Babylon was, it's a system having glorious position. She's always enjoyed a glorious position, and she does, and she will. She's granted access, swift access to the world. We saw that in verse 3. By the way, I'm going to ask them to put that slide up again about that multi-headed beast. Remember that? Remember how she's been granted this access, swift access to the world? We saw this last time. This is obviously an old painting from the 1800s. You've got religious leaders and kings bowing down, worshiping a red dragon or beast, multi-headed with multi-horns, which you will find in Revelation chapter 12, around verse 9, where the Bible says that the dragon is Satan. But listen, he's manifested in this world via a man. We know him as the Antichrist, the beast. And the woman riding upon him, she's wearing this great crown. She's dressed in scarlet. And you see that grand cup that she's holding of abominations in her hand. And as she's representing ancient Babylon, you can see, as you saw last week, you say, Pastor, you already showed us these. I know, but you'd be surprised how many people asked me to show it again. So you know what? Once we leave from this, we may never get back to this book again. So what's our hurry? Look in the distance. The painter paints it the way he sees it. There's churches in the background of a little quaint European village with the steeple. This woman, though, my friend, is completely accurately, with great detail, including that cup, which contains the blasphemies and adulteries of religious fornication. She is purely, clearly representing the ancient archaeological evidence and renderings of Babylonian worship system. It's very eerie because you have this beast standing on the Tigris and Euphrates River, two different rivers from the Babylonian system. She's dressed in her Babylonian garb. She being, in the prophecy of Revelation chapter 17, a false church with these abominations in her hand, and you've got the world bowing down to her. And that artist tried to pull all these things together. The Bible says in verse 3 that God carried John away in the spirit, and he saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast with names of blasphemy and having seven heads and 10 horns. 10 horns are those 10 kings or rulers that will arise in the last days. She will dominate the world's religions. We know that from verse 3. And then we also consider this point, that her system is one that has grand prosperity. She has, verse 4, unlimited wealth. That's the meaning of the purple and scarlet. Someone came up to me at Starbucks and said, In your challenge last week, I got into the studying of Babylonianism, and I'm learning now about the priest of Semiramis and the color of their garb, what they had to wear. Did you know that they had to wear purple? Did you know that they had to wear scarlet? And if you study, listen, church, don't run out of here with your ears being plugged and all upset. This predates any church that you can think of. The priest and priestesses of Semiramis, of ancient Babylon there, going back 5,000 years ago and all the way through. Are you ready for this? Her governing council that were highly selected, they had to wear all red with red hats. They had to be virgin men for life. And the priestesses, they had to be virgin women for life. They swore an oath to Semiramis that their life was dedicated to her completely. My friend, listen carefully. The Bible says concerning the pastor and the overseer of a church must be the husband of one wife. The Bible says in 1 Timothy again that in the last days there will be those coming upon the world scene preaching a message that people opt to abstain from marriage. And the Bible says it's wrong. Did you know that? This shouldn't come to a shock to you. You ought to study about Martin Luther's life. You know, one of the first things Martin Luther did when he got liberated, well, he went and got married. I'm going to get me a honey. And he had kids. How can you counsel somebody about marriage and life and children without kids? The Bible says before you can ever conduct and oversee a church, you got to have your kids in control. Or else how can you manage the affairs of God's church? You see, how is it that we've fallen into this stuff? How Babylonianism has crept in to what is called Catholic or Christian. If it's not found in the Bible, my friend, regarding doctrine, you better get out of it and get away from it. She has unlimited wealth, typified by the scarlet, by the purple, by the precious stones, by the pearls and the golden cup. Listen, she will have a dominant currency. She will come from a system that will promote her in wealth. We know this from verse 4, that whatever she's in association with, it's going to be very lucrative, very powerful. She's going to be riding on the back of a beast that the Bible says is a system that produces money, listen, money and peace. The book of Daniel says that this system is going to produce as a answer to the world's cry for money and peace. What does the world want? Money. More money. More money so we can do this. More money we can do that. More money that we can reach the tsunami victims. More money so we can do this and that and the other thing. More money for military. More money for the homeless. And then what is the other thing? Peace. Peace. The world wants peace. They're picketing for peace. They'll get in a fight over peace. And the Bible says in the book of Daniel, the Antichrist will come in and he will deceive people for the first 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation period with prosperity and peace. It will be demonic. It will be a demonic peace and a demonic economy. Unlimited wealth, a currency. By the way, Revelation 13, verses 16 to 18, and I'll paraphrase it for time's sake. It says that this man is going to call all people, small and great, rich and poor, bond and free. When he's in power, by the way, he's going to demand all people so that they will not be able to buy or sell to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and they will not be able to buy or sell unless they have the mark or the name of the number of the beast. And here is wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of this beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. 666. Why do I bring this up? Look at this with me. You say, we already saw this. Help me out. Is there any visitors here for the first time? Yes, see, for this young lady right here, we're showing it again. What is the deal? Here we look to the Bible that in the chapter that you have open on your lap is 2,000 years old. Also, substantiated by the book of Daniel, which takes us back 3,000 years ago. About a woman riding the beast and all of this imagery. What do we have before us again? The euro. We have this euro. Remember I told you to mark in your Bible the waters underneath this beast, Zeus? Some, if you look up Zeus, also it will lead you in your study based upon the culture. It will interchange Zeus with Jupiter. Some of you have found that. Jupiter or Zeus. Don't worry about the name. It all leads back to Tammuz. It's a beast. Can't you agree by looking at it? It is a beast. And look at the woman. She is naked with robes. That's Europa, they'll tell you. And I'm sure they mean that. But you know more than Europe knows. Now, all my friends, we broadcast, by the way, into Europe. I don't know. We're going to get emails from this one, I'm sure. But why is it on a euro coin is the water there, the beast there with horns, and this woman riding this beast with robes? Somebody who's uninformed will say, it's just Greek mythology. Well, you need to do some research and find out that it's also mentioned in the book of Revelation. You need to also find out that this imagery goes way back. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. You see, that's why John wasn't shocked by, listen, the beast or the woman. He was shocked at what she did. She killed Christians and the martyrs of Jesus. That's what shocked him. More on that when we approach the end. I think we have a couple more just for reminder's sake. Remember this from last week? There she is, naked with robes. Now this time the robes are draped around her waist. Riding the beast. Looks like a common cow to me. But again, Europa, And Zeus, or as some have been linked based upon the culture to Babylonianism, Jupiter. That's a 2 euro. And there's the map of the European Union there on the right-hand side. Next slide. You remember the stamp, everybody? This is really tremendous. I said this in one of the services. Forgive me if I said it in this one. Do you see on the right-hand side? Do you see the beast again? This bull-type beast? You say, well, that looks like a common bull that you'd see in Chino somewhere in the hills. That's true. The only thing is you got a woman on the back who's semi-naked. Her breasts are exposed. She's got this see-through thing around her waist, draped down. You see, remember the little baby there, the guy with the wings? In fact, I was going to buy one, $19. I couldn't waste the money. It was 19 bucks the other day at Albertsons because it's Valentine's Day, right? And so they had this little fat angel with wings on the back. Okay, you guys are smarter than the average bear now. You ever ask yourself the question, what's with the fat little angel at Valentine's Day? What's with the fat little angel anyway, with that little arrow? Well, his dad had an arrow. Remember, his dad was known as an archer. Remember what his dad's name was? Nimrod. His name is who? Tammuz. This is Semiramis and Tammuz, who is known in the Greek culture. Aphrodite was Semiramis, and the baby goes by the name of? Cupid. Excuse me, Venus in Cupid, Aphrodite in the Greek culture, and Eros, which is a freaky story because she has sex with her son. It's a horrible mess. Underneath, you see that little dolphin? That's a very cool ancient, that's a symbol of an ancient god in history and Babylonianism. Why is it included? Why is it included in the stamp? Why? You know what? The answer is this. Test. Question. Nineveh. Where Nimrod was from, by the way, Nineveh, Babylon. There was a prophet that was sent there by God. What was his name?
Jonah.
Listen to this question. Be careful. Was Jonah swallowed by a whale or a fish?
Fish.
Good. Fish. Why a fish? How do we know it wasn't a whale? We know for sure because, first of all, the Bible says it was a great fish. How is it that Jonah shows up in Nineveh and says, 40 days and Nineveh perishes? Man, he didn't say, hey, can you guys play the band and let's have an altar call and why don't you come forward, we'll give you a brand new Bible. He didn't do any of that. 40 days, Nineveh is overthrown. Walks down the street. 40 days and Nineveh fries. 40 days and you burn. That was his message. 8-word sermon. 40 days and you eat it. That was his message. An estimated 3 million people, the largest salvation message in human history, get saved. They bow down and worship the God of heaven. What was so convincing about a man getting spit out of the mouth of a fish and preaching a fire and brimstone message? The answer was, he was a man spit out of the mouth of a fish. They worshiped as one of their Babylonian gods, Dagon. Will you please write this down and research it? Don't write me later and tell me you can't find this. You're just lazy. You got to research this and find it. He's in the Old Testament and he's throughout human history. D-A-G-O-N, Dagon. Dagon is an ancient Babylonian god. And guess what? He was the god of the fish. The Ninevites worshiped the god of the fish, Dagon. All of his priests, they wore a long robe that when he moved, all you could see was his feet. He was ensconced in a robe, long, long robe that followed his procession. And it was sometimes scarlet and it was sometimes green, beautiful green, I might add, if you like green. Hey, anyway. And he had a hat because the priest, to lead people into the worship of Dagon, the priest had to assume as a representative of Dagon the form of a fish. Is everybody with me? Hey, look around. Is anybody sleeping? Just knock. Just give them a little nudge. This is important because they're going to wake up and say, what did he say? That's crazy. He had a long robe that predates any church that you might be thinking about. And when he walked, you just saw his feet because he was ensconced in a robe and he had this hat on. And the hat looked like a point when you're coming straight at you. But when he turns sideways, it's a fish mouth. That hat is still in use today. It's the ancient Babylonian outfit of the priest of Dagon. Does John Paul know that? John Paul's brilliant. I don't know if he knows it or not. But ladies and gentlemen, why in the world would somebody wear a hat like that? Well, maybe they like it. Okay, then why in the world can it be found in antiquity before there was ever a Roman Catholic Church? It was adopted. It was taken in. You need to ask this question and answer it yourself. From where was it taken in from? It will send a chill up your spine. Her wealth will be elevated. It will elevate her status as well. Verse 4, we know that. Identifying the road to Babylon. Number 4, we saw that it's a system that has gross passions, grotesque. She is called a spiritual harlot, a great harlot. Verse 4 at the end, where again we get the word porneia. She has the filth of her fornication and abomination. She's unholy, verse 2. She is not dedicated to the Lord. She's dedicated to the kings and the political powers of the earth. She courts them. Number 5, she's indulgent. She is the mystery. She's veiled. For what reason? It says in verse 5 that she's the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. What happened is that the unholy marriage between the Babylonian worship system of ancient Babylon married into the church in the 100s, 200s, 300s AD. And you've got now the Roman Empire operating in the drapings and the cloakings of what they determined to be called the church. And Constantine, in the early 300s AD, Pontifex Maximus Constantine, Emperor Constantine, declared Christianity exempt from persecution. And he declared a marriage between the church and state of Rome, and the Holy Roman Church was born. This is not hard to find. And guess what happened from that moment on? The church got big, it got fat, it got lazy, it got political. And by the way, to the shock of many of you, you will hear us say, sign petition thus and so, won't you? You will go to our website where you can register to vote, can't you? You will hear us say that we encourage you to search out this bill and understand that proposition. You hear that, don't you? But let me tell you something. I believe strongly that there should be, rightly, the separation of church and state. The state should never be able to dictate. The state should never be able to dictate to the church what it will and will not do. In Constantine's day, Satan knew the genius of that and welded the two of them together, and the state dictated what the church should do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called Identifying the Road to Babylon Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. Identifying the Road to Babylon Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the Bible and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the Bible has the ability to sustain us through the darkest of times, and that includes Revelation. Just knowing that Jesus is returning and that we will be with him are promises that we can not only count on, but they are promises that keep us going. Our relationship with the Lord is invaluable, and we must not take it for granted or let the days slip away without spending time with him. Now, Pastor Jack understands the importance of having a devotional time with the Lord, and it's why he has devotions right there at his website. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and then click on that tab labeled Devotions. Now, once you're there, you'll find a weekly verse from the Bible and what that verse means to Pastor Jack. There are also previous devotions you can tap into for daily use, and soon you'll be meditating on Scripture and what that means to you, or just spending quality quiet time with the Lord in His presence. Again, you'll find devotions at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.